Today's scriptures will be from Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, and Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. I will be reading from the New International Version. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
The sermon this morning is an end of summer sermon. That's the timing that prompted this. The sermon title that you see in the bulletin is not a typo, the Great Vacation. And probably the key word in that sermon title is "and." Shall we pray? Lord God, thanking you for the lushness of summer and the anticipation of harvest, we stand now in this time in between, seeking the abundance of life that you promised to us, and I would pray that we might hear your word in a way that guides us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rick Satchwell gave the devotional at our August church board meeting. As is often the case, I heard a text in a new way, something that I had never noticed, and it was verse 25 from Hebrews 10. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. The timing was striking because there we were in August, in summertime, which is the not meeting together as much time in the church year. It's a season when church attendance declines often and church activities slow. We're now at the end of that, and now we gather back together. And that's why the text caught my ear at that August meeting. We were there meeting when maybe we didn't want to be meeting and we'd rather be doing something else on a nice evening. Now, there's another piece of context which has to do just with the rhythm of our lives in North America that we all know about that I'd like to mention. And that is that typically at this time of year, we might summarize, look back by asking our children, or we might ask each other, what did you do over summer? So what did you do over summer? And then we ask questions like, particularly of the children, did you do anything fun this summer? Or did you go anywhere on vacation? Or, for the less fortunate, did you get any projects done? Did you get that house painted? Did you clean out your garage? And you know, friendly questions like that are pretty annoying when they are asked by somebody that didn't have a project and they know you did. And so, did you have any projects this summer, you poor guy? But anyway, we ask questions like that. We think about the way that we normally spend our time. But here's what is seldom asked. Did you do anything meaningful? Was your summer meaningful? Well, I don't know. What do you mean meaningful? That just isn't a question that we ask. I think asking a question like that feels almost like a culture clash. The one culture, the one that might prompt the first set of questions that I asked, is one of self-indulgence. Summers we fill up with ball games and camp and vacation and fishing and traveling and visiting and so forth and so on, and both young and old alike using our toys as much as we can and as much as we have time for and as much as we can afford. There's clearly that kind of a culture of self-indulgence in this country. And that's the season for seriously indulging oneself. None of these things are in and of themselves bad, wrong, unethical, or unfaithful. And actually, I'm on that list. I and my family have done all of those things, the traveling, the fishing, the vacation, and so forth and so on. But I think we need to also be honest in recognizing that there are those, and perhaps it is us, that position this perspective front and center as what life is all about. The more, the better. It doesn't get any better than this, and the measuring stick is quantity and fun. It's a very powerful storyline, this measuring stick of what a great summer consists of. But meaningful? Well, it happens that there was a man who offered his version of what life is all about, and when asked for his summary of what life all boils down to, Jesus of Nazareth answered accordingly, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." When I talked about culture clash, that's an alternative culture. It is an alternative guiding perspective. It's another measuring stick for the goodness and the rightness and the abundance of life. How much fun did you have? How much entertainment did you do? How much did you accumulate? Or how much did you love? Or do I sound like a Scrooge? So instead of enjoying our summers, are we to spend them in meetings? Come on, Tim. Why don't you just take off the pastor hat for a while? I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing a pastor would say. But seriously, spend the summer in meetings? Don't forget to meet together? Don't travel? Don't have fun? Be serious about life? But I said that the key to the sermon, one of the key words, the key word, was the word "and." The great commandment, love the Lord your God and so forth, is the great commandment and the great vocation. Enjoying summer and obeying Jesus. It wasn't hard to come up with examples. Straight out of our midst. Both "and" ways that many of us bridged the two cultures. So, for example, we had young adults that decided that this summer they were going to do a cross-cultural travel adventure and take a week of their vacation time to do this, and reportedly they had tons of fun doing it. The words were, "We had a great time. It was super this, it was super awesome." And where they went was to Mennonite World Conference in Pennsylvania. It was a meaningful blast. We had a blast, and it was a meaningful blast. I noticed that there were a number of older adults who pretty much spent much of the summer putzing around and doing what they enjoy doing. How did you spend your summer? Having fun. What I like to do. They rode their hobby horse all summer, and then they gave away much of the garden produce which resulted from gardening. It was a delightful combination of pleasure and generosity. Taking care of the soil, helping it be fruitful, playing in the dirt is really what they were doing, developing relationships with each other as they did it, with their fellow gardeners, and then practicing generosity. Giving out of the abundance. On this list are things like family vacations and activities. Some of you did some stuff that was so much fun, like family camp. It wasn't all fun. There were things like needing to take time to attend funerals, and that was meaningful. An example I could give you, this hasn't happened that I know of in this congregation, but I know of a mixed age group that one summer decided that they were going to go to the mountains. They were going to use all those resources, all that gas and everything, to go from Pennsylvania to the Rockies. And first, they did a service project at Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp, and then they went to the camp session itself and enjoyed it. It was so much fun, and it was meaningful. Love God, love neighbor, and love self. I could put in this category coaching youth athletic teams, sports galore and investing in youth, 4-H and the county fair. There's absolutely no reason that pleasure and meaning can't mix, but I dare say it takes intentionality. And all of this stuff was kind of swirling through my mind. Sometimes I can see a sermon clear through from the beginning to the end at the start. I just need to write it down. But in the middle of the week, I was still uncertain. I was kind of stuck. The focus dial turned a couple of clicks on Thursday. For a different reason, I had a conversation with Craig Stimpert, who's one of the pastors at Caris, a church here in Normal, which is a little bigger than ours. They meet at Normal West, and the majority of their congregation is ISU students. Interesting congregation. But if I understood Craig right, he was talking about the joys and the challenges. One of their realities is that often students approach church as they do college. See if I can say this right. In essence, they say, I'm not really here. I'm not really here. These 4 years of college are just a transitional phase. This isn't my real life. This is just an interim period. I'm here, but I'm not really here. This isn't really me. I'm doing this, and then I will get on with real life. And then their commitment to church is kind of sketchy. It's almost like commitment is postponed for the time being. I'm just going to be here for a year or 2 years or whatever it might be, and so I won't really invest in this. Someday I'm going to enter into real life. And that's one of the things that they find as a challenge at that church. And you know, then I started wondering, can it be that for some of us, sometimes, that's almost like the season of summer. I'll get back to church in September. In September, I'll get back to following Jesus' commands. The student might say, when I graduate and get a job and settle down, then I'll get serious, but until then, I'm going to put things on hold. As if it is optional. An optional means that you can say no to it. To wake up to start a new day and say, today I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and my neighbor as myself, as if that's optional and doesn't always apply. So the word then becomes or, the great commandment, or the great vacation. I'll live part of my life in this culture. And it might be a calendar item. Maybe it's just the way we live. But then I'll live part of my life in this culture. Maybe it's just Sunday morning. That's when I'm really going to think about waking up and loving God and following Jesus. But the rest of the time, there's some other things, another culture that is going to be the primary guidance for my life. So it might be the 3 months of summer, but it could be a very different rhythm. I don't insist on summer. It's not really about church. I'm not talking about, did you attend church this summer? It's not about going to meetings. I think of that more figuratively. I don't imagine for a second that the writer of Hebrews knew what we were about here in 2015 in the way we follow Jesus. But I think that what he was saying and that what applies to us is noting that the habit of meeting together, the habit of doing that which we do as Christians is something we can get tired of, and it can take a back seat to self-indulgence. I think the message of the text from Hebrews is this: don't get out of the habits and patterns of a life of faith. They are not optional. They are not to be periodically suspended. It should always be and, as we live in this world, yet not of this world. So whether what distracts us is summer or school or season of life, there is no excuse for failing to be all in all of the time. That sentence right there. If you don't remember anything else, there is no excuse for failing to be all in all of the time at work, at home, at play, on vacation. You wake up, you yawn, you stretch, and you consider what? How will I today love the Lord my God with all my heart and mind and soul and my neighbor and myself every single day? I don't know any other way to understand the Christian life. So you have that contrast. Don't be tired of this. Don't start saying, well, I'll just set it aside for a while and go through the motions. The language that was used was, don't tire of meeting together, being the church. But we do get tired. And I do think we opt instead sometimes to go with the guiding winds of a culture of self-indulgence, and so the way of Jesus becomes secondary and optional. Nevertheless, hear again these words. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Now, I don't know how your summer went and how you would evaluate the rhythm of life and the extent to which you were all in. I look back on my life, and there are certainly indicators of significant periods where I wasn't all in, and other things were driving me, and it wasn't all my heart and soul and mind. I need to confess that honestly. But you know, the point of hindsight is not to produce guilt. No one should look back on this summer or on any season of life in a spirit of guilt. The point of hindsight is to gain foresight. It is a part of the training of oneself. This process of learning, confessing, committing, changing is called maturing. And Paul is very clear that we live our Christian lives within this kind of trajectory. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, grow into Christ, run the race to the end. And so I hope that you had a good summer in all ways. And now we move on. Let us not tire of being together in our faith, loving God, loving neighbor, and loving self. Amen.